Hello, hello, hello. My name is Simon Welton. You're listening to The White Noise Show. Coming up right away is White Noise. I just want to let you guys know, before we start, we, of course, will have another special guest for The White Noise After Show, just coming up straight after White Noise. Tonight's guest is Brent Constantine from, originally from Calgary. He's moved over here, so say hello to him.
Hey, I got here too early, so I'm here for the first half hour of the show.
Fantastic. No, we're very pleased to have him here. It's going to be, you know, we can definitely send in your questions as per usual. So if you have any questions for Brent, or maybe something about the show, maybe you get offended today, make sure you tweet your questions to White Noise UBC, and you should definitely follow us on there if you don't already, or email us at whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. So definitely do that. Otherwise, sit back, enjoy the show. This is White Noise.
Warning: the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to another White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, broadcasting from UBC upon the unceded Musqueam territory. Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Vladimir Putin's one-man show, The Shirtless Action Hero Within, now playing off-Broadway through June. First up tonight is an excerpt from Canadian reality show Hungry for Work.
Hi, you must be Gary. I'm Pauline. Welcome to Corporate Sandwiches. Please take a seat.
Oh, thanks for seeing me.
Oh, no problem. So you're applying for the position of sandwich artist, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Failing that, sandwich apprentice.
Excellent. Now, I see here, though, you don't have much previous experience in the food service industry.
No, most of my previous experiences mainly involved landscaping, but I give it up. I mean, I'm too old for the graveyard shifts.
Oh, was it nighttime landscaping?
No, landscaping graveyards.
I see. And why do you want to become a sandwich artist?
Well, you see, I just always wanted... How do you make a sandwich? I've always wanted to know, but I never thought to ask.
Didn't your mother make them for you as a child?
Yeah, but I never asked her for the recipe.
Well, we do provide extensive training.
I'm glad to hear, because I wouldn't have a clue where to start. I mean, do all your stores carry all the different colored fleshy things?
You mean meats?
That's it. Sorry, meats. Oh, of course. Don't worry. I promise I'll pick up all the technical jargon as quickly as I can.
Now, did you graduate high school, Gary?
Well, graduate's a strong word. I definitely lift.
Okay, all right. And what unique skills would you bring to our team?
I'm real good at, like, judging people's personalities by their appearance, you know, better serve them.
Oh, so you're good at being prejudiced.
Yeah, that's the word. It's a skill that's very useful in the service industry, I hear.
I see. And what interests or hobbies do you have outside of work?
Have you ever heard of, furries?
No, sir, I have not.
It's why I'm wearing a suit with a tail.
Ah, I see. I thought perhaps it was a medical condition.
No, the eye patch and angry blotchy skin on my face are medical conditions. The facial tattoo is, of course, a matter of taste. But people say it suits me. I just hope people realize that the swastika is meant to be ironic.
Right. And, did you have any questions for me?
How often can I use the washroom?
Oh, well, as often as you need.
Oh, great, because I do like spend a lot of time in there. So, when do I start?
Well, we do have a lot of candidates to see.
Oh, of course.
But I can assure you... Well, gosh darn it, you're just the best candidate I've seen today.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, thank you very much. I'll wait your call. Make sure you call, though, between 4 and 6 p.m., because that's when I'll be near the phone at the methadone clinic.
Oh, no problem there, sugar. I'll probably see you there anyway.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Canada, for that illuminating piece. And that was brought to you in part by golf, a sport for people who don't like sport. Next up tonight is a message from the company.
Good evening, listeners. I'm John from the company. You should listen to this as it concerns you. I am here to inform you that we are improving our systems, sort of. We are introducing an automated answering service for all calls incoming to our company, reducing our costs by over 40%, a saving we will pass on to our shareholders.
We are fully aware this change may cause stress and inconvenience, causing a lot of people to get butt hurt. But after about 6 months, they will adjust to having to think for themselves for once. Lastly, to further streamline operations, we have reduced staffing by half across retail outlets, meaning next time you visit us, you'll just have to find your own damn size. Thank you for listening. Continue to spend.
Thank you, John, for that clear message. I need to buy some shares. Next up tonight is a debate on homeschooling. Is it a quality education or a complete abomination?
Hi, I'm Kelly Miner, and this is Debate Squad. Tonight, we are discussing homeschooling. Is it the foundations for success, or does it make your kids weird? To discuss this issue with me, I'm joined by homeschooled pupil Edna Ware.
Hello.
Psychoanalyst Edward Kane.
Hello, Kelly.
Public school teacher, always tired.
Hello.
And mother of 6 homeschooled children, Fiona Smothering.
Hi. Oh, excuse me. I just need to check up on the kids.
So I can presume a few of your positions, but I'm curious to know what Edward's research has found.
My extensive analyzing of prepubescent children has found conclusively that those who are homeschooled are, in fact, a bit weird.
Ah, and where did you get this standard of normal?
We just compared them to what all the popular kids were doing.
You mean those pretty children with no personality.
Be fair now, they don't lack personality. Popular kids just don't have a good one.
And they constantly disrupt class, playing pranks on me. One kid put a pin in my chair the other day.
That's awful.
It's okay, I put a pin in his tires, his condoms, and his future.
See, how can anyone say being in the public school system is healthier than being homeschooled?
Because you're allowed to deal with this crap. This is life. Sometimes people mess with you. They throw your clothes in the river when you're swimming. They smear dog poo on your back. They sell your weed. It turns out to be pesto. You gotta be able to deal with it.
I think you may have been the victim of bullies in high school, Al. That's all quite harsh.
What do you mean? That was all last week. Those grade 9s that teach you a bunch of cunts. But that's life. Just bastards everywhere.
Al, we don't all live in your personal hell. Ha! My life is much more calm and serene, and that is how I want my children's lives to be.
That's all well and good when they're kids. But when they turn 18 and step out your door, only to get eaten alive by all manner of seedy and shitty people.
Ah, you don't think that I can explain the danger of the world to my children?
Have you explained contraception?
No, we are Catholic and therefore do not believe in artificial contraception. We still advocate for non-artificial contraception. You are free to make sure that she's on top, he pulls out, you both put your genitals near a microwave for an hour before making love.
Oh, sure, great advice. And then your daughter meets the first guy to pay attention to her and suddenly she's pregnant. But you're not allowed to see the kid because her wonderful new savior, Rick, doesn't like having people over when he's tired.
I won't be taken advantage of by some psycho boyfriend. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. I thought I knew what I was doing. The amount of times I ended up with some psycho boyfriend.
Well, if you will date PE teachers.
It's those damn shorts. And the whistles.
Perhaps Al is a poor example. He clearly wasn't one of the popular kids.
Forget the popular kids. At home, everyone is the popular kid.
So not true.
Are you kidding, Fiona? I'm homeschooled, and I don't believe that.
It's true, Fiona. My previous study last year proved middle children are disproportionately disadvantaged. Thanks to me, though, the government is now proposing an affirmative action plan to assist middle children fight this attack on their liberty.
Were you a middle child, Edward?
Yes.
Well, that explains all the attention-seeking.
Hey, at least I use my work to feel important, rather than my children's education.
I provide a quality of education that will allow my children to enter excellent universities upon graduation.
Great! So they can all be undone and 6 weeks away from you at college.
Oh, no! They will attend a local college so that they can still live at home.
Well, look, security aside, school is an experience all kids should have. Done right, you learn confidence, camaraderie, you have fleeting, passionate, but awkward relationships, things parents simply can't teach a kid from inside their 4 miserable walls.
Why not? I have enough kids for a hockey team. We can play with our families. Just imagine! imagine the rivalry.
It's just not the same. And seriously, don't your kids deserve a break from you and each other? God, there is no one I would want to live with and spend all day with. Don't you want to strangle them sometimes?
No! Well, maybe the little one.
What do you think, Edna? You're homeschooled.
Sometimes I'm about to smother my mother while she sleeps. I mean, how can someone who is homeschooled get this much homework?
Well, I haven't dared give homework in years.
You should probably give some homework, Al.
No way! The scars haven't healed from last time!
Homework aside, one thing we haven't discussed is private schools. What do our panelists think of them?
Just bullies with more money.
Better education, though.
Oh, yeah. It's probably so well-rounded. I'm sure the rich schools cover Marxism, socialism, and the feminist revolution with unbridled love and admiration.
We are running out of time. Any final word?
Yes. As a psychoanalyst, I must point out that there is always an alternative answer to these social issues. And it is, of course, quite simply, not being breastfed long enough as an infant. It's also why Rob Ford does crack.
Okay, I think we'll have to leave it there. We are out of time. Join us again for the debate squad.
Thank you, Debate Nation, for confusing the shit out of me. Now I don't know what to do with my hypothetical children. Next up tonight is a diary entry from the unpublished works of Terence Tripoli, titled The Hopeless Romantic. Dear Diary, I wish you could talk back to me. Firstly, because this would make this seem less pointless. And secondly, so you could explain where the hell my date went so wrong today. I thought I executed everything perfectly. First, I awoke, did my Pilates, followed up by my chin-up. Hope to reach 2 very soon. I ate a breakfast of eggs, bacon, sausage, pancakes, English muffin, toaster, kippers, croissant, fried tomatoes, mushrooms, black pudding, yogurt, protein bar, smoothie, and a diet Red Bull. Then I had a rather large but efficient bowel movement, which made me a little late for work at the fishmonger's. Luckily for me, my boss is just glad if anyone shows up for work at all. Personally, though, nothing gets me quite in the mood for a nice little date than gutting 4,000 fish. I guess all the violence makes me crave the soft innocence of the opposite sex and their lovely lady bits. I was a bit worried about the smell, because it does get stuck in your hair and your skin, but I always have a plan. I simply shaved all my hair from my head, body, face, and not forgetting the eyebrows, of course. On the way home from work, I picked up some new clothes. I got a great pair of flare jeans, like they wear in that 70s show. They totally suit me. I also got to go with a hilarious t-shirt that says, 0 to horny in 2.5 pints. I knew any woman would find that hysterical. I also couldn't resist picking up a new hat. I was torn between a fedora and a trilby. I just couldn't pick one, so I got both of them. I thought it would be funny if I wore one of them on top of the other, like some eccentric genius. I knew that's what conclusion girls would jump to. New threads in hand, I made my way home and began preparing the feast I had picked out for this perfect first date. For starters, I made caviar in a garlic sauce. Main course was a seafood medley in a garlic sauce. And for dessert, a cheesecake with garlic sauce. Oh, we got to do what we can to support Father's garlic business. Unfortunately, I ran out of table salt, so I used the salt I bought to de-ice the driveway. It did add a bit of a gritty texture. I set the mood in my apartment beautifully with the lyrical accompaniment of my favourite Slipknot album, Antennas to Hell. I can't stand all that typical romantic music. That the tempo is useless. I mean, how am I meant to make love to a woman at that snail pace? And I lit some incense sticks. You know, one didn't seem enough to hide the smell of the cat litter tray. So I lit 8 in total, and I spread them around about the apartment. It worked as long as I kept the windows shut. I brushed up the floor, but I couldn't find the dustpan, so I just left it all in a pile in the corner. I mean, I made sure the pile was nice and neat, of course. I put all my empty liquor bottles on my mantelpiece like trophies. I hung up my newly acquired art, a full-length Victoria's Secret model poster with a little bit of nipple.
Then I had a shower. I only had my head lice shampoo to use, but as I was now completely bald, that didn't matter. I put on my best Axe body spray, my new flares, the hilarious t-shirt, Granddad's brute cologne he gave me, polished my head, put on both of my hats, and I waited for her to arrive. I got a bit bored waiting, so when she arrived, I was halfway through cutting my toenails, though she was very nice about it and waited quite politely while I finished. I offered her some drink options, but she wasn't fussed to either Mountain Dew or Diet Root beer, so she simply sipped on her water while we chatted. I discussed all the important things, how much I was worth, all the terrible ex-relationships I've had, all the people who have wronged me. Eventually, I decided I should ask her something too, so she wouldn't realise how conceited I am. She droned on for half an hour about her job treating people for cancer. As if that's interesting to people who don't already have cancer. You know, it's sort of an inside thing. I nodded appropriately and tried my best to steer the conversation back to me, but she was determined to talk, so I just tried not to look too bored. You know, after a bit, she finally ran out of steam, and I had a chance to entertain her with my fascinating anecdotes of things that have happened at the fishmongers. Yeah, I mean, you do have to kind of be there to get the jokes, but I still told them. I mean, it filled a lot of time. After dinner, I showed her my celebrity underwear collection. I'm quite proud, and she took quite a shine to Bill Clinton's briefs. I mean, everyone just assumes he's a boxer short guy, and I mean, I could have gotten them clean. I mean, they are quite dirty, but you know, it's funny. Some buyers that actually increases the value for them. We then played a game of Never Have I Ever, where we learnt she'd lived a rather sheltered life, and I, in comparison, am a dirty slut. We both, I think, found this rather amusing. Finally, to seal the deal, I played her a few songs on my DJ decks. My mixing is getting unbelievable. Combine that with a few fist bumps and a tight head bobbing, you know. How could any woman say no? I mean, she watched me spin the decks for like an hour. So, as you can clearly see, I basically played the perfect hand in this game of romance. I didn't put a step wrong. And yet, after all that, I only got to second base. I mean, what the hell?
Thank you, Terence, for that vivid account of a date we've all had. I have noticed women are not huge fans of hilarious t-shirts. They much prefer hilarious ties. Next up tonight, we return to the unfiltered world of online dating in the hit show Internet Love.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Internet Love, the show where we follow couples from online coupling to under-the-shirt fumbling. Tonight's couple is Joe and Brittany. I caught up with them individually before the date. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Sam.
How are you feeling tonight?
Fantastic.
Really? Oh, wasn't that impressed with her photos, personally.
Well, it's mainly the Molly I took. But I felt pretty good before that. I mean, she seems great.
Uh-huh. And what are you bringing to the table?
Well, I'm an art student.
All right, so you're a future barista.
Current, actually.
Nice.
I was also born in a small town.
Well, that explains the lack of clothing coordination.
I hope to have a large family.
Gonna have to brew a lot of coffees.
I like movies and music.
Yep, you and the rest of the planet.
I want to travel the world.
Shocking.
I was voted most handsome in my yearbook in high school.
Fuck off! How ugly was that school? Or did you just peak incredibly early?
I said it was a small town.
Well, on the bright side, having ugly kids probably puts off a few of the pickier pedophiles.
I guess.
Sorry, carry on. I derailed the conversation there. Back to you and your hopes for a large, ugly family.
Okay, well, I also play the piano.
Oh, nice. What kind of music?
The classics, Itsy Bitsy Spider, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, When the Saints Go Marching In. You know, music made before everything became overproduced.
Uh-huh. And what are your expectations for tonight?
I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much. You never know. She might be a moron.
Knowing this show, that is quite possible. Joe, sit tight. Myself and the listeners are going to go meet Brittany and decide which one of you is getting the raw deal. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Sammy.
It's Sam. Only one of us was named terribly.
What's wrong with my name?
Name one important person named Britney.
Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah! Sorry, I totally forgot about her. Carry on. Describe yourself, Britney.
I'm 20 years old. I have one sibling, a younger brother. I grew up in a two-parent house. I want to be an English teacher when I finish college.
Oh, great. Well, that seems very average.
Not really. In my experience, well-adjusted families seem far more uncommon.
Actually, that's fair enough.
I'm really into movies and music.
Oh, no way.
And I also want to travel the world when I graduate.
Get out.
I was a volleyball player for 6 years.
Oh, beach volleyball?
No, indoor.
Yeah. Anything else?
I like TV, especially a lot of those reality shows. They make me feel so smart and superior. They are a real confidence booster, I find.
Oh, I totally know what you mean. My favorite is that one with the homophobic ZZ Top lookalikes, you know, with the duck fetish. Oh, it's so funny.
That show lost me when it stopped being about the ducks.
Oh, I get what you mean. They just, you know, they make it about the relationships rather than the little ducklings. So, what's your expectations for tonight's rendezvous with Joe?
I'm really just hoping for under the shirt, over the bra.
Perfect. Well, Sam and Brittany have chosen the movie theatre for their date, so we will catch up with them after their film. So, Joe, how was the theatre?
It was amazing. Our bodies touched the whole time. We seemed to connect on a really deep level. I think she is amazing. I'm completely infatuated with her now.
Wow. Okay, over to Brittany. Hey, Brittany, how did it go?
Not great. He took up the whole armrest. I kept trying to push him to his side, but he kept trying to touch my arm with his. We did not connect at all.
Oh, why is that?
Because we just sat in a theater not talking for 2 hours. How productive was that going to be?
Oh, what was your first choice?
Something involving words. I mean, we're not 14. I was not going to let him finger me back there.
Well, what's next on the itinerary?
Apparently, ice cream.
Well, that should involve some words.
Yeah, and eating. What every woman loves to do on a first date in front of a man she's attracted to.
But it's more licking. It's sexy eating.
What about the cone? Oh,
get a bowl! Just look, just eat the free ice cream. We're paying. Brittany and Joe have had their ice cream. Here they both are. What flavor did you get, kids?
I got pistachio!
Ugh, gross.
And I got vanilla.
Oh, I would have put money on that. Well, it's the end of the date. It is time to see what the decision is. Will you be seeing each other again?
Yes! Brittany is amazingly unique and wonderful, I think.
Really?
We will spend many more amazingly blissful nights together.
Okay, and what do you think, Brittany?
Yeah, sounds fine.
Well, there you have it, viewers. Another match made in heaven. Join us next time for more internet love. Joe and Brittany went on a further 5 dates, having sex 3 times before Joe broke it off, citing that Brittany was a bit too plain for his taste. Thank you, Sam, for another fantastic bit of radio. That piece was brought to you in part by Air Fresheners. It's cheaper than a maid. This piece is a personal favourite of mine, where we get to hear from one of the least well-known but hardest-working radio personalities in the world. You won't recognise his name, but you'll remember that voice.
Hello and welcome to Better Know a Voice. I'm Miles Milton, and today we shall be speaking to a man familiar to many of our listeners. He has recorded his voice over 8,000 times in his career, lending his voice to TV, radio, and even the occasional white supremacist group. Welcome, David Newland.
Hi Milton, thank you for having me. A pleasure to be here. I'm a huge fan of your show.
Thank you, David. But perhaps I should call you by your nickname in the trade.
If you like, haha.
For those who don't already know, David is better known as a terms and conditions guy.
That's right, you need a 5-print red, I'm your man. Whether it's side effects, legal speak, age restrictions, or my personal favorite liability waivers, I do it all in a record time.
Wow, and how did you get into this line of work?
I sort of just fell into it, honestly. I originally wanted to be a hostage negotiator, but in the police academy training scenario, the guy playing the gunman was apparently so upset by my voice, he killed himself. I wasn't even a real gun.
But wouldn't you say this job comes more naturally to you?
Why, because I talk fast but remarkably clearly?
Well, yes.
I've never been so offended in my life, you prejudiced man.
Now, there is no need.
Would you tell a tall person that they should play basketball? Would you tell a fat man to be a chef? Would you tell a lesbian to be a professional athlete?
Now, I really think you've gotten the wrong idea. We can't ignore natural.
Why, Maz? What era are you living in? Should the men go find food because they're strong and leave the weak women to care for the young? Is that what you want?
What are you talking about? I thought you were here to promote your autobiography.
Life in the Fast Talking Lane.
Sorry, I just don't get to really express myself properly cooped up in a booth warning people about loss of sex drive and anal leakage.
Oh, I get that. It's the same crap here. I'm constantly doing interviews with idiots who do things nobody cares about. I mean, who wants to meet the guy who does the terms and conditions?
I'll have you know my book received a strong response from the focus group.
Yes, I read that too. I think it was a very specific focus group that liked it. Am I correct?
Fine, it was the 65 to 85 range, but they are one group of our society with the largest disposable income, therefore I'm going to milk their dusty buddies dry.
David, you do realize they may be listening and getting rightly offended by that comment.
You're totally right, you see. This is the problem with being a fast talker. You say things without thinking them through.
That explains your badly broken nose.
Exactly, but I'm not too worried. They won't hear this because most of them are hard of hearing.
I think you did it again.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, that's all we have time for today. My guest was the terms and conditions guy, and I'm...
Wait.
What?
Let me do what I do best, Milton.
All right, then. Go ahead, I guess.
The views expressed in today's broadcast do not reflect the opinions of the studio, Miles Milton, myself, or any other associated parties.
Thanks.
World Class Radio there. That item was brought to you in part by the MMA Association. They dare to tell them it looks gay to their faces. Our next piece is an interview with the chairman of charity group World Beaters, Ivan Sayer.
Good evening and welcome to Sporting Solutions. I'm Jason Mason, and tonight my guest is Ivan Sayer. Hello, Ivan.
Good evening, John.
Ivan is a political activist, youth worker, and an avid soccer fan.
It's football, actually.
Oh, sorry. My researcher has written soccer here.
Well, that's not what it's called.
So it is soccer you mean, though?
No, soccer is what you mean. We invented it first, so I'm obliged to ignore the confusion you have by mixing up football with that game of rugby with too many stoppages you call football.
I see. Well, now we've gotten that out of the way, could you tell the listeners about your latest project?
Absolutely. My plan is to turn China from a relative minnow team into a football powerhouse.
And why China in particular?
Well, I've always been a big fan of China. The food, the movies, its dictators. But every time I am underwhelmed with their World Cup performances. I mean, they have a billion people, and you're trying to tell me 11 of them can't play football?
No, I didn't try to say that.
It's a figure of speech, John.
Oh, right. And how do you plan to bring about this sporting revolution?
It's quite simple, actually, John. Obviously, it will take a generation or two for players to come through any new system and show success on the field, but the general idea is this. When the kids are finished making the soccer balls in the factories, let them practice with them for a bit. When the kids have finished making the football boots, let them take home a pair for the weekend. They're bound to get better. By the time they're 18, they might not have all their fingers, but they'll be deft with their feet.
Okay, so your plan is to use child labourers to bring about a successful national team. Doesn't that seem a little exploitive?
Well, they are already being exploited regardless, and it's no worse than what the NCAA does with American college athletes.
Well, yeah, that's very true, but shouldn't we be trying to reduce the exploitation of children, not increase it?
Well, you can draw a line in the sand between exploitation and following your passion, but any child or teenager who works or performs any extracurricular activity is arguably being exploited.
But how do you figure that?
Well, for example, if your child performs in a for-profit theatre production or takes part in a university research experiment, they will undoubtedly work for free or perhaps a modest amount of money for the betterment of somebody else's career or ambitions. I'm giving these kids an opportunity to better themselves and escape their grim realities.
So, you hope to be able to eventually get these children out of the factories?
Absolutely. Well, at least for away games anyway.
Thank you, John Mason, for that interview. And if you're offended by the topics raised in the last piece, go do something about it. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Mariana Mate, Connor Nishelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Have you received your Metro Vancouver Transportation and Transit Plebiscite voting package? If you didn't receive your voting package and you would like one mailed to you, simply call Elections BC at 1-800-661-8683. That's 1-800-661-8683. Or go online at elections.bc.ca/OVR to register or update your voter information and ask for a voting package to be mailed to you. This message is brought to you by Elections BC.
All right, thank you very much there. That was The White Noise Show. You're listening to The White Noise After Show. Coming up right away is we've got special guest Brent Constantine in the studio.
Hey, yeah, and don't forget, if you haven't got your transit plebiscite package, to contact the mayor's office. I don't think it was the mayor's office they said to contact, was it? In that PSA? I don't know why.
I don't listen to those things.
Oh, so I was listening very closely. I don't know why I thought it was so funny. there was just like a hint of desperation even in like the announcer that they hired. Like, we know what's happening in the public.
They've seen the polls. It's not looking good.
We saw it. We already had this ad time booked. We paid for it. We need to have a commercial. But we both understand things aren't going that well.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, for, like, the Translink posters that they've had up since they started are getting pretty good now. Like, they're putting some of that, like, corporate sort of manipulative advertising strategy to good use for once, for a socialist cause.
So. All of the advertising is pro plebiscite. It's pro the tax, right?
Yeah, but apparently the guy who's like in charge of the no vote has been doing his own thing, and apparently it's basically sealed it up. It's like the Concerned Conservative Action Group or some bullshit. Like
are we going to play their ads?
I don't think they play on our studio. I think
what is their ad? Just like, if you haven't got the voting package, contact no one. Have a great afternoon.
I think it's along the lines of tax. Taxes are what the communists do. It's sort of that's their sort of line. I think
they're taking a very hard line approach to the transit referendum. That's pretty hardcore.
Wow. Okay, we got way off topic here because we didn't even start properly.
Sorry, Simon.
No, it's fine. It's quite funny. What we were going to do was give you guys a chance to go to the bathroom after you've just finished your enjoyment of White Noise. So what we're going to do is going to play a little music. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with Brent. If you have a question you want to ask him desperately, because of course you do, it's White Noise UBC. Maybe you're really mad about the plebiscite now and you just want to send us abusive messages. Do it. I'll read them out. It'll be hilarious.
I'd love to just talk about that the rest of the show. Yeah, that'd be great.
The driest comedy show ever. Awesome. All right, yeah, or email us whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. you should do it because you got nothing better to do. You're listening to the radio, so why don't you just move
a harsh slam on your listeners.
Come on, you're all procrastinating on that essay or that you know, that test that's not tomorrow, because there isn't any test tomorrow, so it's probably Monday, and you're just sitting there, and you know, you can't, come up with a good question.
Come on, you losers, what Simon's trying to say. I know, we were talking during the pre-recorded set, and Simon was really slagging on you guys. Let's be honest, Simon. You just say some of the stuff you were saying about your listeners.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, everyone's got two faces. They're on air face.
Okay, all right. I think we're loud and clear. So if you have any questions for Simon and why he's so mean to you, send it in and we'll answer them.
Pretty please.
Yeah.
Bye. much do you know about Bice? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
All right, here we are. We're back. My name is Simon Welton. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM out of Vancouver. I'm joined in the studio by Brent Constantine.
I'm kind of hungry to get to that bike kitchen now. oh, sorry. I thought we were just going to reference every ad that we played before we came back.
I don't think I've ever referenced one ever.
I just, that one especially, because that was made internally. It just because I worked at my community radio station, I was telling you, when I was at university, and all of the ads are very similar in that they're like, okay, we don't need anything flashy. All we need is just a straight 45 seconds of us explaining what this thing is. And at the end, we're going to put in a sound effect that we found on the internet. And it was, and that's it.
It was a short meeting.
Yeah, it was. Well, there's no meeting about that. There's no one like, okay, no one as a group decided this is how community radio stations are going to sound forever. people are just like, this, you know what? It doesn't. Let's just.
I bet you the first ones were really good. First one, he did it and it took him forever. And he was like, forget that.
Yeah, I'm done. We're just doing
no
straight
way.
Voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not doing 20 minutes. You know, like, oh, no. Yeah. It's just.
We're not trying to overshadow the bike kitchen here, okay? We need. The bike kitchen is the star of the ad, not you, okay?
The first ads were like the Moby Dick of bike ads. It was just 10 minutes soloing of shouting about bike kitchen.
Advertising like, novel Moby Dick when it first came out on community radio, and it was just read. Actually, you know what? I'm making fun. We're making fun of that, but that has definitely been a show on some community radio station.
Reading
books.
Why not? That's brilliant. Do you not listen to books on tape?
I have, but I've never listened to one over the radio before.
I wouldn't want to listen to it in one sitting.
Yeah, it's just that's their programming for like 3 straight days. Everyone's just taking turns coming in and reading.
Is this programming or a filibuster?
Yeah, it is. That sounds like a punishment to someone. But why would you listen? That. You're like, why am I still listening to this Moby Dick reading? It's like it sounds like someone assigned that as work to you. Like you have to listen. Then. Like no one would do that willingly.
Well, I'm sure there's a couple of people. If you're just depressed enough, if you're just lying there in bed and it starts, and you don't need the bathroom,
Yeah, you don't need the bathroom at all because you're hooked up to a series of tubes and unable to
just
move.
Give it up. You know,
I want to find out what happens to that whale. I can't leave the radio. I got to stay at home because I have a very specific mental disorder when it comes to books on the radio. I have to listen to them.
Well, you know, once you start something, you got to finish it.
I agree with you 100%.
It's a good philosophy.
You got to chase that white whale of your own, which is finishing weird tasks that you've assigned to yourself. I agree, yeah.
But imagine if you were, you know, if you were unfortunate enough to be that sort of person, mm-hmm. and you were also like very bipolar, and you just come up with the most ridiculous things, but then you're like, I've got to follow through with it. I've got to make the ladder to the moon. That was what I said.
Oh,
before.
The ladder to the moon. That's one that you're setting yourself up.
It's only 6 miles, I believe. How far?
No, no, no. The moon?
Wait, no.
Six miles to the moon?
Sorry, to the outside of the atmosphere is 6 miles,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
It's not as far as you think.
I'm not, like, an expert on math or distances, but I'm going to call you out on the moon being 6 miles away. Would be a lot different.
As far as you think, though. That's
okay. 7 miles. It's 7 miles away.
Yeah, hang on. We can just Google this and find
out. I'm going to go...
What's your guess? Now that you made me feel stupid, how many miles?
I'm going to say it's thousands and thousands.
If I type in how many miles to, first thing comes up, the moon.
It takes months to get there. Or no, it takes 3 weeks.
No, it doesn't take that long. But yeah, no, the answer is quite appalling.
It's over 6. And tell me, it's over 6 and over 7.
It's 6 digits.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I guess you were right in that. Okay, that's what you meant to say.
Yeah.
It's 6 digit miles away.
I told you it was a bit silly, the plan that it was going to come up with.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. That's a lot of ladders to get to the moon. And you'd probably, well, of course you... It wouldn't work. If anyone is playing this right now, please stop. Wait for the next program to dedicate your life to, which is the Moby Dick Reading Hour. It starts directly after White Noise. That's right. With Simon. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds right away.
Yeah. It's White Noise and then White Whale right afterwards.
Actually, it's Synaptic Sandwich, I'll have you know.
Oh, Synaptic Sandwich. I am not surprised. That is the name of the show that comes after.
It is. I mean, it's more appropriate for Saturday night. I mean, the comedy show, 8 p.m. slot on a Saturday, it does seem a bit bizarre. Like, I always felt like we're sort of like a Wednesday evening or, you know, like when you're just not bothering going out, sort of.
Right, right.
Know.
So right now you're sort of complaining about
I'm only mentioning that because the show after me is like EDM. It is what I expect to hear
I'm only mentioning it because I'm really upset about everything that's happened. CITR has ruined their own programming.
I think if I had the... I do not advocate or condone any of the words being said here.
Oh, no, but we can tell what you're trying to say, Simon.
Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm not.
Dangerous games.
So, but seriously, CITR, Simon's very unhappy with where you put him.
Okay, well, now that Brent's finished putting words in my mouth, I'm going to put a bit of Big Dick in the listener's ear.
Of Alberta itself already has it's one of the few Alberta regulatory environments in the country. It has Alberta.
What is an exception?
What I said was actually what I've been saying for some time. Alberta. And what is crazy would be for us to impose costs only on our Alberta. So look, that's what Alberta has done.
J'aurais pu te dire ces mots-là.
The Fire Hall Arts Center takes on Stephen Harper with Proud, a political satire that will have you rolling in the aisles. Don't miss this sexy, cheeky, and surprising play about what really happens in the back rooms of Canadian politics. On from April 7th to 25th. See firehallartscenter.ca for details.
Sure. Alberta.
All right, there we go. Thank you for that. get your tickets for that. Harper Basher Fest.
That's I don't feel like we need to talk about that one. That one sort of sells itself in terms of, I wasn't even sure what that was at first.
I think that made me listen though, because then I'm like, I wanted to know like who the hell decided to put that on the radio.
Well, it'll have you rolling in the aisles, which is the most, like, that's a, I don't know if that's ever happened. I've been to a lot of comedy shows, and I don't know if anyone I've ever seen,
I think I'd be a bit disconcerted if people were literally rolling in the aisle.
Yeah, there's not room in many aisles to roll.
And you got to think of the servers; like they need health and safety as much as the next.
Yeah,
person.
It is not one person maybe, but the entire audience
rolling around.
There's
on the
not.
Floor.
There's not a venue in the city that has space for that.
Yeah, unless you like cut the tables in half and then you just have
then that, I don't know what that show is.
That show
would
be
to.
So expensive.
Yeah,
though,
that every show you have to ruin a bunch of tables and because people are falling all over the place.
Or what if you did it at like the trampoline center in Richmond?
Oh,
that might be fun. I mean, drinks spilled everywhere, but
yeah,
I mean, it'd be safe.
Yeah. Is there a stage there that you could have a comedy show?
I'm sure they could build one
on a trampoline.
If they build it,
everyone
will come.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, the stage of a trampoline above a series of other lower trampolines. So you'll be bouncing in the aisles. I don't know if there are aisles at the trampoline center. That feels like it would be even more dangerous.
Well, I hear a lot of people break their ankles on those things. Like, there's always pictures online of people with horrendous...
From that center? Well, why are they putting those pictures online? That's not good advertising for the Richmond trampoline world.
I don't think it's them tweeting it. I don't think they I don't think they're retweeting other people's smash-ins.
Yeah. We don't have a choice. We just like the publicity of all of these fractured skulls people are posting. Yeah, come on down to the Richmond medical trauma. A trampoline sensor.
We have the best worded waiver forms in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, maybe they're just putting them up because they're just bragging about how just try and sue us. There's nothing you can do about this damage. We can do whatever we want.
I mean, even before they existed, we knew trampolines would stupidly dangerous things that people had in their gardens and hurt themselves on. I don't think anyone in childhood knew anyone who had a trampoline who never had a problem with it.
Yeah, it was a dangerous thing. It was a dangerous object to have. It was sort of like a fire.
They put those nets on them now, so yeah. They just look ridiculous.
So that it contains the trauma to just the center of the trampoline, so that at least, you know, we know where the body will be. It won't be around, it'll be in the center, lying unconscious.
It doesn't even look humane, though. It just looks like a giant fly trap.
Yeah, you're in a cage. That's what all toys should be.
So you take your child from the little baby pen that you have them in the house in so they don't run around, and you put them on the trampoline.
Yeah. It's just a series of cages that you move a child from one to the other. And that's what growing up is all about, isn't it, Simon? It's just, and then you get into the real world, which is even more of a cage, am I right? Yeah. You get those office 9-to-5, Simon. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Sure. In your like Dune post-apocalyptic world.
Oh no! I just was joking. Like the cages we construct for ourselves, Simon. Yeah.
I knew where you're going with that, but it winds me up because I do think that so many people who complain have just decided to have annoyingly boring lives or do boring things, and then they moan about it.
I'll be honest, man. I wish I had. I do not have a job at all right now, and I would work at the trampoline factory, sweeping up blood. I don't think that's how you get rid of blood with
bone.
A broom. Yeah. All the bones.
I mean, you put sand on blood.
Right. Yeah. There's just so much blood all over the floor for some reason. Oh, I guess that would be like the more difficult trampolines, the ones where there's knives on the sides of them or something.
Jesus. Yeah. No, I mean, at that point, the waivers must just be fantastic.
Yeah. Come to our knife themed trampoline depot. We've been open since earlier today.
But yeah, the trampoline place was recently purchased by House of Knives.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And,
it's sort of a cross.
Diversification.
Yeah, it's some synergistic...
I sawed it. They'll tell you all about it in business school here.
Here's your bag of sawdust. to throw in your own blood after you start leaking everywhere.
Well, there is actually one place that isn't as terrifying that they just opened that I do want to check out. Have you heard there's a place downtown where you can go like escape from the room?
There's a bunch of those now.
But there's like apparently there's one now downtown.
Oh really? So, I didn't hear about that at all. Yeah. Have you done one of those before?
No, I think it'd be interesting though. I mean, it seems like one of those things you do just sort of as a sort of ego thing where you're like, I just want to see if I am clever or not.
A couple people I know have done it. And they say it is very difficult. Someone said,
"Well, there's different levels, though."
My friend said that a friend of hers went, and they went to the easiest one, like the Key of Osiris or something. And they every 10 minutes, the guy, like the puzzle guy, would just come in frustrated because they could not solve anything, and he's just like, "The key is in Ra's beak, obviously." And just like slam the puzzle down, and then be like, okay, now we have Ra's beak. What do we? And then they would just wait. So the puzzle is solved by just waiting for staff to direct you to escape.
Because I assume, yeah, you book in, you've only got so long, and then they got the next party booked in. So yeah. Like you can't faff around all day.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a very.
They should just have it that if you don't do it in time, that just a little gas comes in and puts you to sleep, and just to give you a bit of fear, so that you actually work a bit harder.
Wait.
Under pressure, you'd probably do better.
All of these attractions sound extremely dangerous. So
I just feel like, you know, health and safety's got a bit ridiculous. Like, yeah. You can't have any fun anymore. Like, where's the adrenaline of living in this city?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
the stabbings are down, the murders are down. Like, we got to get the blood rushing.
Yeah,
a little
bit. Yeah. Gas. We got to add gas to the mix.
Only if you don't do it. You
know, okay.
You have the power and the responsibility to not get gassed.
Yeah.
And it's only a little sleeping gas. I'm not talking about like
mustard
gas.
Oh, it's just sleeping gas. It's just a light drugging by this business.
Yeah,
okay.
It's to make you feel stupid for not doing the task.
So what happens after you're gassed, though? Do they leave you there? Or they
just haul your body
out?
No, they just come around, give you a little slap on the cheek, go, well done, thicko.
So they drug you and then they hit you until you leave.
Just a love tap. I'm not talking about...
I know, but I feel like even a little bit is too much for somewhere you've paid to be.
Hey, certain people, it takes all sorts to get the world go around, you know.
I agree 100%.
Some people will happily pay for that.
So have an afternoon at the knife trampoline sensor and then the gas-based attack room escape.
Exactly, that's your perfect Vancouver Saturday. So right now we're going to play Wrath of God by Crystal Castles, and then we're going to talk some more rubbish.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds fit, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Clydesville, and we're making it like you.
Are you sure that ad's done? It could go on for another minute and a half.
It wants to. I know. It's you know, dying to.
You can give 100
examples. There we go. It's the last little bit of it.
But you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Like, I think that was meant to be deep. I think it was meant to be deep. I don't want to offend them because they are another show here. And I think they totally did trump, though, your idea that you couldn't have a flashy...
I feel like
that was pretty fancy.
But you tell
us.
Me, what was that show about? Because in my mind, it was about robots having breakfast. And that's what the show is.
Wouldn't you watch that show?
I don't... Maybe I'd
at
watch it.
At least to find out if it really was about the robots eating breakfast.
I don't think robots eat the same breakfast you and I do. Unless they described what the breakfast was. I don't know if it would make a very good radio show. But prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, breakfast with the Brownsters.
Eat their rice circuits, you know?
The rice, yeah, the rice, yeah. I know what robots are all about. What do they play every ad during your show? Like, do they save them for the rest of the day?
If you must know.
I must. They simply must.
They simply, I don't know how it works out, but they go, you should play this, this, and this. And I go, all right. And I play this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but you can then do whatever you want. So that one, I just went, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Oh, okay.
And went, oh, that looks fun.
You just pick the one that had been played the least recently,
No, I just went, that one's got, what was the word that was in there? Oh, I just, Breakfast with Brown sounded okay. Like a great name for a show. So
okay.
I was like, yeah, we'll see what that's about.
And you were 100% correct.
Yeah, I mean, what was with the English woman? I wonder if there is an English woman.
I don't know. We could break that down, I feel, second to second of what seemed to be... 3 minutes of what that ad was, but maybe we'll just move on.
I was going to say, we really should maybe talk about what's going on in your life.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think that's only fair. You've come all this way.
Yeah.
We should maybe mention
where
you can see more of Brent, because we know you want to.
Yeah, If you have any commercials you want to send to me, you can email them or tweet them, and I will just talk shit about all the hard work that you did, because I'm an awful person.
I bet that took, like, hours. I bet he did. I bet they just sat there on, you know, smoked a bit of meth and just went hard.
What did you say? Smoked a bit of meth?
I'm just thinking for, like, super editing, because he was on there for hours just doing it.
People are going to finally respect me after they hear this commercial. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've heard weird stories about editors doing that, where, like, just editing a film in, like, 2 days, because they just, that's how they do it. Just, like,
yeah, I don't know if that extends to community radio station commercials, though. Someone is, like, super...
just a little bit. Just enough to get through that.
Yeah.
30 minutes it took.
Well, I didn't know this until we were talking during the break, but a big segment, what you told me, of the community membership here are addicted to crystal meth and have access to these production studios. I was very surprised when you told me all about that.
I really think I should mention that is absolute rubbish.
That does explain all these meth pipes all over the floor here.
I thought those were just decorations.
Yeah, this is... if you've ever smoked or even if you're just a normal person, you obviously know this is not the sound
that,
of...
That is pen.
Yeah,
that is pen.
Fooled you.
That is just pen. Okay, so we are already over 9, but we're going to hang about a bit longer because no one else is kicking us off. So why not? Let's hang about a bit longer. So let's talk about your shows that you've got going on. So one of them is a monthly, you got a story-based show.
Yeah.
So what's that about?
I moved here from Calgary about a year and a half ago. And I mean, Vancouver in general, but comedians and performers specifically, nobody's really from Vancouver. For the most part, everybody moves here. Like, you moved here from Kelowna. You were saying you grew up in Kelowna. So the show is it's called Vancouverites.
From 15 on, not from a baby, because
that Kelowna accent.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I just otherwise I look like a wanker if this is how I talk after living in Kelowna.
Wanker is a term from Kelowna regional dialect.
In the posh houses.
Okay, Simon, I get it. All right, you're not from Kelowna. You don't need to impress me with your words.
I just want to make it very clear, I am not from Kelowna. Okay. No offense to Kelowna.
Ooh, ouch, Kelowna. Take that. They are all addicted to crystal meth there, so they're probably
let's not go there. Let's not slag off an
entire
city.
No, we won't
go
to Kelowna. No, don't worry.
Usually this show is very politically correct and never says anything outrageously bad.
I feel like if the line of political correctness is being mean to Kelowna.
I think slagging off an entire city is just ethically unsound.
I agree.
You know, you could. Though, having said that, I mean, yeah, this is.
I like Kelowna. I've been there. That's all I have to say about this.
Well, I would say it's a great place to visit.
Yeah.
I just, as a 25-year-old male, have no desire to live there whatsoever, because I'm not a gangster or an old person.
Those are the only two demographics?
They are most of the houses. This is perfectly true. There's a huge amount of Hell's Angels, Kingpins, Independent Soldiers, and other gangs operating there. They actually have a gang like police division now in Kelowna, and there's like a big Hell's Angels chapter house. It's all in the papers.
That's the thing, though. I mean, like, yeah. I lived in the North Interior as well, in BC for a little bit, and I've been to a lot of like the towns in here, and a lot of them do have like a big gang problem. It's interesting. I guess they've kept it local, hyper local.
But it makes sense in a lot of ways, because you have like a lot of people that live there who are sort of 35 older, who are like older, and I think a lot of them do a lot of sort of like, there's a lot of like cocaine that's used there, and so that's who's bringing it in, always, you know, mister in a bike.
So guys, if you have any cocaine you need to sell, come to one of my shows. We set up a little merch booth right outside the door. So the show, the Vancouverite show, is just all comedians for the most part that have moved here to Vancouver, and they're telling stories and they're doing jokes about Vancouver or their hometowns or their local gang houses that they grew up in and whatever drugs they sold. And that's at the next one is on May 1st at Hot Art Wet City, which is a really cool art gallery down on Main and 6, I think. Yeah, it's a cool place. And I also do another show there, which, and that is next Thursday, and it's called Comics on Comics, and it's a panel show, and there's improvisers and comedians, and we go through old, awful comic books page by page, like on a projector, and just make fun of them. Because bringing other people down makes other people feel good about themselves. Yeah. So
what kind of comics have you had up on there?
What did we do? The last show we did was in, the owner Chris had, like a month themed of art at the show, and it was all about sex. And so I did erotic comic books. And that was the most awkward thing I've ever done.
Just showing people porn.
It was pornography, but pornography outside of like an erotic sense becomes just really weird. Like people drawing what they think human genitals should look like. I don't know.
What attractive. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You got a lot of, you see a lot of vaginas that start at the belly button on the internet, drawn pornography. Yeah. And we did the Kool-Aid Man comic book. That was a different show. Sorry, that was not the erotic.
I was
gonna
say, Kool-Aid Naked? Like the BBW sort of thing?
He burst through a wall and then had sex with everyone. Yeah. What did you say? BBW? Yeah. Big Beautiful Woman? It was a big BBK.
Watermelon flavored.
Yeah, watermelon. He just tipped his juice
On to everyone. That's his.
Well, we all know what he says when he finishes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. why did you whisper that? That's not how he says it.
I didn't want to burst everyone's eardrum with me screaming.
No, I guess no, but I think maybe you captured his essence. He just whispers. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You see, expecting him to be super loud, so that's how he throws it. That's how he puts it into reverse.
Kool-Aid like, man, you got me again.
Oh! Not even mad now.
Yeah, and this next one, I'm not 100% sure what we're doing, but I think I've got, you find a lot of, like, the weirdest stuff is usually, like, the licensed stuff, and I found this comic from the 70s, and it's all the Archie characters, but they've been licensed out to this, Bible group, and so all of the stories are, like, the Archie characters, but all they're talking about is how, Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and he's saving them, and, they're spreading the gospel. So it's like they've all contracted some sort of plague, and their brains have just been like slightly shifted. So Jughead no longer likes hamburgers as much as he likes how Jesus fills his belly with hope and salvation. So it's very interesting. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm like, yeah, man, people do some mad stuff, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many kids were actually converted by.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, so did the stories obviously be different? Like, was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, they're quite a bit different.
So,
yeah.
Like, did they just go to church? Or, like, they...
What? A lot of it, I'm trying to remember what one of them was, but it's like there's cool kids at the school and they drink beer. And they're like, Archie and Betty, you guys are stupid. We don't need to go to church. We got beer and a car. And then they drive their car and obviously get in an awful accident. and then Archie follows them. Like,
This is brilliant.
I don't know why he followed them. But then Archie sees the accident happen. Like, at no point does Archie stop them from drunk driving. He just waits until they get in an accident and then goes and, like, scolds them for how they didn't believe in Christ while they're lying like on the ground waiting for the paramedics to come. So it's kind of dark now that I think about it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I mean, you know, isn't Christianity about, like, forgive and, like...
Yeah,
know,
well,
and,
not like, not in the, like, Archie sect of Christianity,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, like, you know, time and a place for a bit of lecturing, mate. Like, maybe once they're not dying, like...
Archie,
you know.
Riverdale is strictly Old Testament-style Christianity. Yeah, it is an eye for an eye.
The mercy stuff just hasn't come into play yet, really.
It's, yeah, so if you like that weird stuff... Yeah, the show's on Thursday, and it's also at the Hot Air at Wet City, so...
You come on, you want to see that, you know. You
yeah, do. And I think the other one that we're doing is a Chuck Norris comic from his short-lived cartoon show. He apparently had a cartoon show, and they made a comic about it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got you. That could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
It does feel a little few years too late, but that would be great in 2009.
Simon, why are you ripping off my show? You haven't even been there. Hey, guys.
Sorry, I just, you know.
Simon's really mean, and you can come to the show. You can buy tickets on the internet. You can find it on Facebook.
You can heckle exactly what I just said to him at the show. Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty.
You know what? Wait until the show is like in an intermission or before or after or at the merch table when you're buying some drugs for me.
Yeah, there you go. What'd you go for, you, Matt? You can go chat with him. Yeah. And that sounds like a cracker. All right, we're going to play a bit of repetition. This is by Purity Ring, so you should listen to this crap.
Smooth combat, make your way in through my tears and I'll relax. If you're the truest one, I'm gonna make you a season. Climb up in my rotting spine and I'll contract. Tell me I'm the only one and I'll move back. If you see your daydreams in me, they'll not lack. What's been waited in me, I'll make you quake with reason. Watching me is like watching a fire. Take your eyes from you. And takes you. Watching me is like watching a fire.
bed, searching in my dark eyes to break what's been said. There's a wave of grace hunting your soreness down. There's a light in my skin that's been dimmed. I'ma dig you up and give you what I took. Pull you up and tuck you in and make you look. I'ma smooth your shoulders down and calm what shook. It was all forlorn, if only for a season. Watching me is like watching the fire take your eyes.
There we go. That's about it for today. This was the White Noise After Show. Just before we go, if you do want to keep following Brent Constantine, you can do that at...
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. My name is Brent Constantine, and it's at Brentholomew. And also, if you like comedy and you want to know what's going on, follow YVR Comedy on Twitter, and that account tweets my shows, it tweets everybody's shows, really good shows, pretty much improv stuff, sketch stuff.
Anything funny.
Yeah, anything funny, and depending on your definition of funny, things that aren't funny also. But yeah, it's a great resource if you like comedy in the city.
Absolutely. And yeah, so definitely check that out. Check us out next week. Again, we'll have another special guest.
Who's your guest?
I never remember who's on the week after.
Okay. Because that's not very special.
I never remember.
We have an average, normal guest.
Yeah. Give me 3 seconds, and okay, I'm going to tell you exactly who's on. So yeah, we are going to have another show next week. We're going to have another half-hour sketch comedy. I can't tell you what that is because I haven't written it yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm mad and I write this every week. Next week is Chris Allen. That's who we have on.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, very funny guy. He's been doing comedy a while now, Chris, I believe. I think. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Brent, he's so up on these things. He's my source of information here. So yeah, that was our show. Thank you so much for listening. I'm gonna leave you with a bit more Big Dick because you know.
Yeah,
we
love
it.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.
Bye.